private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future. For more information about Morningside Academy, call 772-335-3231.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and delighted that you've joined us for today's broadcast. Our prayer is for the Word of God to transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread.
Make great things a goal. Stop settling for mediocre stuff, average stuff, plain stuff, sorry stuff. It's like somebody being dressed up in a real, real nice Louis Vuitton suit, $1,000. With an old pair of dirty sneakers on with holes in them. Mud all over them. Huh? Tell somebody stop settling. Now listen, I'm not trying to press a button for greed or for us not being content with the state that we're in. I want to deal with your mindset. Because God is calling you higher. He wants you to set your sights higher. Because He's higher. He's an excellent God. And He does things with excellence. Not just... See, the church has, for a long time, always been pulling up the rear. You know, I don't have anything against this. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm using this as an example. Like a hotel wants to get rid of some old stuff. Who's out there? The church. We could use this. We probably done that before. But my point. Come on, get my point. That's how some people think. Is you don't want it, I'll take it. I'll dust it off. I'll sew it up. And nothing wrong with that. But why couldn't you be the one putting it out on the curb? Saying, God have blessed me with something else. And I want to see that this is in fine working condition. I want to see that it blesses someone else. Amen. People who accomplish great things must constantly make it a goal. The Bible tells us to couple our faith with patience. I'm like you. A lot of stuff, you know, sometimes people pray, Lord, give me patience now. Lord, give me patience right now. It don't work like that. Huh? Let's take a look. Let's look at the intentional mind of Solomon. When he set his heart to build God a magnificent temple. All right? In 2 Chronicles chapter 2, and let's start at verse 5. 2 Chronicles 2. Now remember, attaining excellence isn't an accident. We must summons all our faculties in the planning stages. Sad but true, sometimes we as children of God, we think too small. Let me say that again. Sometimes as children of God, we think too small. When God owns everything, I'll never forget an evangelist in Chicago on Stony Island under this tent. on Stony Island. And I attended those services a few nights, and I remember him saying something. He prophesied to me. I had a big white Bible. He wrote a prophecy in there. But one of the things he said, God says to ask him largely, and he will answer you largely. But you have to couple your faith with patience. But tell someone, God wants to answer you largely. Not just average, not just a little tiny bit, not just a little inkling, not just your ordinary. God is excellent. You are his excellent in the earth, and God wants to show himself through you. We are his ambassadors, his representation. Solomon had an intentional mind. Tell someone, intentional. Do stuff on purpose. You know, I have a brother that, you know, he through the years, he became very wealthy. And he's not a spendthrift. You know, he doesn't just throw money. He's very, very wise with money and investment and all that stuff. But one day he was telling me how I don't know where he saw the vehicle. Did you know some of these vehicles you see around here? Well, let me say, years ago, he brought a Mercedes-Benz in a box. It was one of the old, I think it was 1948 Benz or something. It was white. He had to put it all together. He's like that. Put the engine together, put the, you know, everything, then drive it down the street. Then he sold it. He bought a vacation home in the mountains, a dome. You know, used it for a while, then sold it. He does stuff like that, but he invests in a lot of things, so his money makes money for him. But he was going to buy this vehicle, and he went into the place, and the guy was rude to him. And, you know, he said, you know, he doesn't usually talk like this, but he said, you know, the guy treated me like I ain't got no money or nothing. He said, man, I'll walk right on out of there. I said, I ain't got the time for this. But the guy lost a sale because he was going to buy it. We're going to, you know, put it on layaway or you know, down payment. He's going to buy it right out. It's $12,000, $14,000, something like that. I don't know what it was. Because he liked it. But he said, man, I lost interest in it. You know, it's real important that, you know, we recognize things and opportunities and not allow people or situations or environments to dictate to us who we are or who we're not. You know, sometimes people look at you, can you afford that? It's a stereotype, sometimes bias and all that. They don't know how faith works. Faith is the currency. I'll tell you, if you got faith for it, there's a way made for it. I tell you, God will make a way. God will make a way if you believe. Unto him that believes, all things are possible. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 5. And the house which I build, this is Solomon, and the house which I build is great. For great is our God above all gods. So this is before they ever started to build, Solomon said this. Verse 5. No, I'm sorry, verse 9. Thank you. Yeah, verse 9. Well, I'll tell you what, go back to verse 5 and verse 6. We'll go from 5 to 9, okay? Verse 6. And the house which I built, Solomon said, is great, for God is above all other gods. But who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? Send me now, therefore, a man cunning to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in iron and in purple and in crimson and blue, and that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and in Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide. Solomon was calling for all the skillful workers. Send me also cedar trees, fir trees. He's talking to Hiram, one of David's friends. Fir trees and algum trees out of Lebanon, for I know that thy servants can skill to cut timber in Lebanon, And behold, my servant shall be with thy servants, even to prepare me timber in abundance. For the house which I am about to build shall be wonderful great. Okay, so Solomon said in his mind, the vision that he had for the build, he said, the house that I build shall be wonderful and great. It wasn't no little shanty shack. In his mind. See, remember Peter on the boat, the first thing he did after the great drought of fish came? The real Peter showed up. He went to the Lord, fell at his knees. Now, we think this is noble and all that. It probably was at the time, at the state of mind he was in. But he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. In other words, he couldn't handle the blessing. I'm not worthy. That's how he started out. I'm not worthy to depart from me. Those fish that they caught in Luke 5 was the greatest drought they ever caught. They were all blown away so bad that they feared. They feared God. And Peter is the one, he expressed, depart from me. I'm not worthy of this. I want you to tell somebody, God has made you worthy. Amen. God has made you worthy. Christ has made you worthy. You are a child of covenant. And sometimes people are like Mephibosheth, living in Lodebar. And the king has to summon you out of that place of no pastures. And I'm talking about in your mind, sometimes people live in a place of Lodebar. Just hanging in there. How you doing? Hanging in there. Child, it's rough. It was rough last year. Matter of fact, it was rough the year before that. Well, it's still rough. That's because that's where you live in your mind. Child of a covenant, living in Lodebar. But thank God that the king, God brought to his mind, are there any left of the house of Saul that should have been killed, but that I might show kindness to? How many know we deserve to die? We deserve death, amen, because of Adam. But thank God for King Jesus, who paid the price for us, and now he sits on the throne and says, are there any in resurrection life that I might show kindness to? Are there any there living in Lodebar that we need to go and summon? I hear Ziba say, yeah. There's so-and-so. And then let me get my list out. There's so-and-so. All of them in Lodebar, go get them. Tell Apostle to go get them. Go get them. Send the men. Go get them. When those men of David showed up in Lodebar, Mephibosheth thought it was all over. Because as tradition was, they were supposed to be killed. All the seed of the former king was to be killed so there could be no uprising. But tell somebody, thank God for the covenant. Listen, there's a covenant. Every time it rains really hard, sometimes you see double rainbows. Amen. But that's a covenant. I don't care how hard it rains, how flooded it may get some places. God said, I'll never destroy. I'll never allow the world to be destroyed again by a flood. That's a covenant. No matter where, no matter what, God said it'll never happen. Tell somebody, we in covenant.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.trbanks.com. Remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.